Bartram has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in!
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Welcome back to the Kentucky Resilience Lab podcast. Today's episode, we will continue our series on leadership that Michaela and Katie began in previous episodes. I'm Olivia, and this week we have a special guest who will be joining us this week. This guest is someone who's impacted my own views of leadership over the years as I've listened to him speak at numerous UK athletic leadership seminars. He spent 22 years in the US Army. He worked with Horizon Performance and athletic departments. So without further ado, please give a warm welcome to Mr. Jason Cummings, and he will introduce himself a little bit further.
Thanks, Olivia. It's great to be with you today. I appreciate the invite.
So tell me a little bit about your role in the Army and what you kind of did there.
So I was a University of Kentucky student, and soon after graduating, I entered full-time military service and had the opportunity to fly helicopters for the U.S. Army. I thought it would just be something I would do for a few years. I was kind of drawn to the excitement of jumping out of airplanes, rappelling from helicopters, and the adventure side of things. And what I really discovered was it was a true passion, and it was a calling. And while I didn't quite understand that in high school and in college fully, it didn't take long from the time that I got out there in that first unit in the 101st Airborne Division and really just fell in love with the leadership opportunities associated with the Army. So I was blessed to serve with some amazing units and do some really neat things. And about 6 years in, the Army asked if I had an interest in teaching at West Point. And so I decided to pursue that opportunity. And in preparation for that teaching assignment, the Army sent me back to grad school for a couple of years there at Wharton. And after teaching economics for a couple of years, during that time, 9/11 occurred. And so the world kind of changed and the Army's role obviously changed. And it's kind of hard to explain to people, but I wanted to get back into the operational side, get back to flying and do my part. And so soon after leaving West Point, I went right back to the 101st Airborne Division and deployed to Iraq, and then was home for about 15 months and then deployed to Afghanistan. And so really, really appreciative of the opportunity to serve. Very difficult. Obviously, the nation doesn't want to be in war, but when it's required, that's kind of what service members want to do, is do our part. But worked with some amazing teams and really, really appreciative of those experiences. And then had the opportunity to come back here to Kentucky and lead the commissioning program, the ROTC program here at UK. And that's what kind of led us to discover UK Athletics Department and the opportunities here. And then I decided to retire from the military and transition over into athletics.
Yeah, so obviously you are more than qualified to be in a position to speak about leadership. And now you are working with UK Athletics as the Life Performance or Life Executive Associate AD and part of the Student Athlete Experience section. So what does that kind of look like in terms of what you do with UK Athletics?
Yeah, so the first 5 years after retiring, I was heading up what we call the Impact Leadership Program. In that role, in really helping our department and helping our coaches better understand how do you build winning cultures, how do you select the right teammates in the recruiting process, and then develop them intentionally once they arrive on campus. And after about 5 years of that, Mr. Barnhart, our athletics director, posed a question to me. He said, "Hey, how would you feel about coming on board with UK formally and kind of relooking the student athlete experience?" We had some transitions that were going on within the department at the time. It was an increasing opportunity we saw and a need. And so we kind of started with a blank canvas, and we built the team around three different kind of units. And the first unit is the Academic Support Services, which we formerly call CATS. the Center for Academic and Tutorial Services. And then we have a second unit, which is our what we call life performance, which is all the career preparation, community engagement, you know, equipping our student athletes to turn pro. And then the third is the Impact Leadership Program, which again, still falls underneath my responsibility, but we have another teammate named Sean Umbro, who's come on board from Horizon, who's helping us expand some of the things that we're doing within the leadership program. And those three units make up the student athlete experience.
Obviously, as a swimmer at UK, I've experienced all three of those kind of different sections. And I will say you guys do a great job at organizing and building us and developing us. What, from being at UK, have you developed any definitions that you think of when you think of what a leader should be?
So if you're talking, you know, like just go back to that word leadership and what does that really, what does that mean? I think each person, it's an individual responsibility to kind of define what leadership means to you, but you're obviously going to be impacted from your experiences and education. For me, I can't help but be very influenced by my experience in the Army. And, you know, there are various definitions. Some people say, well, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. That kind of comes from John Maxwell. Some people, when they talk leadership, talk about helping others go from where they are to where they want to be. And I absolutely believe that's essential. But when I think of leadership, I think of what really started as the Army's definition. And there are three verbs associated with that. One is influencing. The second is accomplishing. And the third is improving. And so to me, leadership is influencing others by providing purpose, direction, and motivation. You're accomplishing your mission. So we got to be clear. It's not enough just to influence. We still want to go about accomplishing our mission, whatever that mission might be. And the military looks very different than a coach at the University of Kentucky or even a student athlete at UK. And then the third is improving not only oneself, but improving your teammates as well as the organization that you're a part of. So if we're doing those three things, then I think we're answering the call of leadership in my opinion.
So you said that the military helps prepare you to be a leader and kind of shape your definition. What did that look like for you when you were building your own leadership skills and what ideology, I guess?
Sure. You know, the military, one of the things I think was great about the Army for me, there's an established leadership doctrine with very specific and systems and processes in place. So, I mean, I don't know any organization that has written more, thought more on developing leaders than the U.S. Army. Now, that system is really a mix or combination of education and training combined with key developmental experiences. So throughout one's career in the Army, we would be given specific education and training at kind of each schoolhouse as we progress through our careers. So the leadership education that I received as a college student looked a little bit different than the leadership I received as a lieutenant and then a captain and then a major. But the Army always had another school that they were ready to send you to, and it kind of prepared you for that next level of leadership. And in addition to some of the technical and the competencies, technical skills and competencies that you were developing along the way, you were always receiving that leadership education. To go along with the leadership education, the Army also thrust you into specific developmental experiences. So those may have been assignments. Hey, you're going to be a platoon leader following this course. Hey, you're preparing to be a company commander. And there were these different key developmental experiences that when you walked in the door, at first you kind of felt overwhelmed, like, oh man, how am I going to learn all of these things I need to learn to be successful in this job or in this role? And those experiences were varied. They oftentimes seemed a little bit more than you were ready for that could induce failure. However, I believe that those experiences are key to growth. And experiences can be very different. Some can be short term, maybe an afternoon in length. It may be an entire year in length, but you as student athletes, even our coaches, all of us should be looking for those key experiences that will help us grow. I mean, a funny story, I showed up as a young lieutenant to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And this is where the light bulb finally went off. And I joined the unit. They were on a training exercise down in Fort Polk, Louisiana. And they were at a joint training center where basically they were preparing to do their wartime mission. It's the closest thing that you can come to actual combat. It's a simulated enemy, a simulated operational experience that's tough, it's demanding. And I'll never forget, I joined the unit down there. And for the first time, they're like, "Oh man, we are so glad to see you, Lieutenant. We've been waiting for a platoon leader for the last, over 6 months. They've been without a platoon leader." And the feeling of being thrust into that position, being very uncomfortable, but at the same time, the company commander was really looking at me and saying, "All right, here's 6 Apaches. Here's 20 guys. Go out, prepare for war." And like that experience was tremendous at that stage of my life. But it kind of gives you a glimpse of like each stop along the way, you were thrust into another experience. At West Point, it was different. It wasn't preparing for combat. It was, okay, you're now an economics professor at one of the foremost institutions of learning in the country. Here's your new instructor orientation. Now you're responsible for, this classroom, this course. We're going to equip you and help you. But they also gave you a lot of latitude to create the course within the guidance that they had provided. But I'd never been a college professor before, but I did feel equipped to prepare. But it wasn't until you stepped into that role that you really grew and prepared for what was next.
Yeah, I really like that you said, even though you were uncomfortable in your experience, like being thrusted into that environment, you still grew and found something that you took away from that. I think that is something that a lot of leaders are put in positions as like team captains, maybe as like a junior, they're put into this position of a team captain and they have to like step up and be uncomfortable and like learn from that experience. So I really like that you said that.
You all as student athletes, that's one of the things, part of our program, we're trying to intentionally create developmental experiences for you. Those experiences can be within your team. They may be on the other side of campus through an academic initiative that's ongoing. I will tell you what you're doing right now with this Kentucky Resilience Lab project and the podcast. Whether you realize it or not, this is a huge developmental experience. All your preparation for this, having to step out and have some courage and get on the net, then release this to public. Like, that's not easy. There's some steps that were uncomfortable for you along the way. Yet I can promise you, when you look back on this, this year, however long you participate in this, it's going to be a great developmental experience for you. So again, sometimes it might be a time as a captain for a year. Other times it may be the first couple sessions in a weight room for a new freshman who just stepped foot on campus and had never met Coach Spurlock or, one of our great strength and conditioning coaches. That can be a developmental experience for our student athletes. Going to Africa as part of the service projects that we do within the department. Oh, what an unbelievable experience for our student athletes. And they are changed and they grow as a result of those experiences.
I have learned so much through UK and just following the plans that like Steph Simmons will create for us and just being a little bit uncomfortable. I have seen myself grown from a freshman who would be terrified to do anything like this to now like doing a podcast. I do stuff with the hidden opponent. And I'm not even a team captain. I don't have that role, but I have other roles on the swim team that have like pushed me so far out of my comfort zone to make me a leader in like other realms of life, which I think is just awesome.
Well, and you just hit on a really important thing. You said, "I'm not a team captain, but I absolutely believe that you're a team leader." And one of the things we want to get beyond at Kentucky with our teams and help people understand, both coach, student athletes and staff, is that, look, leadership's not a position. It's a decision. It's not a position that's only reserved for a select few. It's a decision that's open to each one of us. You know, we all can choose to influence, we all can choose to accomplish, and we all can choose to improve. And so truthfully, we want to create teams that have leaders of leaders, not just leaders of additional followers. And so whether you're a brand new freshman that's coming in, that has influence over their other freshmen and teammates, or you're an experienced fifth-year senior who's coming back for their last go-around as a team captain, both of those individuals have leadership opportunities before them, and they just have to embrace those. And so that's a big part of what we're trying to teach.
Yeah, well, I think you guys are doing a great job. And that kind of answered one of the questions that I had, I guess, was what would you say to team captains, CEOs, or people in leadership positions? Like, being the key to being a great leader is somebody that it's like, I think leadership, you get so caught up in like the role, because like for me, I think of it as like, oh, they're team captains, so like they're the only leaders. But I think you just did a great job of answering, like, everybody is a leader. It's like our decision to influence and lead other people. How does accountability play into being a leader?
So I think two things I would say to that. Number one, you've got self-accountability. So you have to have taken the time to really establish what I would say are your standards of behavior, your core values and guiding principles, like the leader that you want to be, and then holding yourself accountable to that. Like, I truly believe the hardest person you'll ever lead is yourself. If you can truly learn the disciplines of leading self, then I think that you can earn the privilege of leading others. And the disciplines of leading self, to me, are in many cases far more difficult than again, the leading others piece. So when you, accountability to self, number one, and the second area is holding your teammates accountable. And that's that involves sometimes some tough love and some tough conversations, having the courage to have a system in place that rewards the positive and then has consequences when we fail to live up to the standards. I think it helps a little bit, the military background. The Army was very good at establishing tasks and conditions and standards for our training. And whether it was going through flight school or air assault school, if you didn't achieve that standard, there was an instructor that was standing by or an evaluator to tell you, hey, sorry, you didn't meet the standard. And so in some cases, it was a little bit easier because that was ingrained into us in the military. I found it a little bit more nebulous and at times more difficult, even as I've transitioned into the civilian leadership world, and to have some of those harder conversations. In some cases, because people take it differently, and they think that it's an assault on them personally. And so I really think you have to keep it centered on the behavior. You can coach behavior, you can't coach value judgments. So what is the specific thing that you're asking them that, hey, we need to step it up, we need to do a little bit better job here. But if you have trust, and if there's a relationship built on authenticity and trust again, then you can have those hard conversations. I think about it as a student athlete, right? Dealing with our student athletes and coaches, the relationship between a coach and student athlete is so beautiful and it's so important. And I've watched student athletes who are corrected by coaches, and maybe in the middle of a game on the sideline or side of a court, it may be in a workout session or a practice. And you can tell when that trust exists and that relationship exists, because that student athlete is looking at that coach who may be very, let's say they may be upset in that moment. And you can almost see it going through their mind, like, oh boy, man, they're upset. I messed that one up. However, I know the coach loves me. I know that coach cares about me, and they're able to get past that. If you don't have that trust in the relationship, then that accountability, it gets really tough. Then it flips to coach doesn't know me. Coach doesn't care about me. I don't know what he's talking about or she's talking about. And so, again, if you don't have that that baseline and that foundation, it's really hard to get to that accountability and the hard conversations and the tough love, so to speak.
Right. Going back to your first point on core values, do you have core values that you like to stick by personally, and do they change? Like, do you think it's okay to change core values?
So it's a great question. So first off, core values for an individual, I don't think they should change very often. Okay. So what I mean by that is your core values are those beliefs that you hold dear that you will not violate. Now, that doesn't mean that at times you don't have difficult decisions to make, and there may be value conflicts even within two values that you hold dear, but they are definitely not something that you change routinely. So, for example, when I transitioned from the Army has 7 core values that I held very near and dear to my heart: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Spells out the acrostic leadership, LDRSHIP. And 20 plus years in the Army, like, those were internalized. And, you know, sometimes people will say to me, well, you know what, I think that stuff's just a bunch of fluff. Well, if it's nothing more than some words on a wall, or maybe words that you hand out on a piece of paper at the beginning of the year, something on a website for a company, and that's all it is, you're right, it's a bunch of fluff. It won't matter. But if it's something that you teach, that you review and reinforce over your behaviors, if it's something that you hold each other accountable to, and you make sure everyone in the organization understands them, then core values are incredibly important to both the organization and to me as an individual. So it's kind of interesting you asked, Olivia. As I exited the military and I thought about those over a couple of years, I started to review those core values, and I replaced 2 of them. So instead of duty, one of the core values that I have now is discipline. And to me, discipline is so important in leadership. And I felt like, you know, that's something that I want to make part of my core values. And then the H was honor. And I felt that honor and integrity, for me, they go hand in hand. You know, I like this notion. There's a great leader in the Army, former boss of mine, who's now a 4-star general. He has a guiding principle that says, keep your honor clean. So integrity to me is all about keeping your honor clean. So I decided to replace honor with humility, because it wasn't captured in those core values, yet I think it's absolutely essential characteristic of a leader is to be humble and have this element of humility. And not that you're not confident, but that to me, the humility aspect is possessing a teachable spirit. It's never having arrived and always striving to improve and to get better, and being open to that and the coaching of others throughout your life. You never arrive. We're all works in progress. And so, so again, that loyalty, discipline, respect, selfless service, humility, integrity, and personal courage are the core values that I cling to even today.
Wow, that's awesome. I don't even know if, I mean, obviously UK Athletics, we have core values, but I don't even know if personally, like, I've really sat down to think about, okay, what do I want my core values to be? And so that's a good challenge to listeners, that they can be thinking about what core values do they want to live by and lead by. So that's a really great thing to be thinking about. What advice would you give to somebody who is struggling to find balance as a role as a leader, like within their athletic teams and being like a competitor?
Okay, you brought up this word that that I don't know that it's really impossible to achieve. So people often talk about this word balance. So how do I achieve balance? And whether it's a student athlete trying to achieve balance between athletics, academics, personal life. Well, as you progress, and as I work with different companies or leaders at different levels, there's an exercise I'll often do, or I'll have them write out their their vision for their life. And it's intentionally left very nebulous and open-ended. And what always comes out is this balance, desire for balance between personal life and professional life. Almost without fail, there'll be some element of that. And so what we've chosen to do is not talk so much about balance, but talk about something called priority management. So each one of us have priorities in our lives. And, you know, you talk about determining your core values. I think another very important step for all of us as aspiring leaders is, what are your priorities in life? And so, give you an example. I had a guy by the name of Michael Hyatt, who's a great writer and speaker on leadership. And several years ago, I listened to him and he kind of talked on this topic. This was probably 12 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago. And he ended up developing something called a life plan. And he talked about these priorities and priority management in there. And so I took a hack at, like, okay, what are the priorities for me? And so in there, I put number one, faith, God. Then I put my spouse, put the boys. We have two boys. Put my profession, other family and friends. And then I lumped everything like that I do in the community, kind of like community service and community engagement. I enjoy that. Well, one of the folks, the priorities I kind of left out initially was self. And Michael talked about the importance of putting yourself in. Well, as I got this nice, neat order, all right, oh, it sounds great. God, self, spouse, your kids, your profession. Well, the reality is, like, that's ideal, but that in no way is real day to day. And as an example, like, when I was deployed for a year at a time, like, I could say that my spouse, that Shannon was my, you know, number three priority after, you know, my faith or myself, or, you know, and some people might say, well, my spouse is my number one priority. Well, for that year, that was not true. My profession, the Army, jumped really up almost to the top of that, of my priority list. And as much as I love my spouse, if I would talk to her on the phone or communicate with her, and depending on the tour, how frequent that was, she would tell me about some catastrophe or something that happened at home. And all I could do was say, man, that is terrible. I'm so sorry, honey. And as soon as I got off the phone, it was back to fighting the war. And so what I learned is, like, everybody has these periods of seasons of life, periods of a year. You look at what our coaches go through. When they're in the middle of the season, I don't care what team it is, man, they, like, their job, their profession jumps up. They spend so much time at the office or on the field or in thinking about their teams. So what you've got to do is learn to manage those priorities as you rotate through different periods of the year. And for me, there was a lot of preparing that happened on the front end of a deployment, and there was a lot of repairing that happened on the back end. You can't be gone from your family for a year without there being some collateral damage, especially when they're, you know, both our boys were under the age of five at the time. Like, say goodbye to dad for a year, and it's hard to recognize dad when he comes back. And that was hard. But, yeah. I had to learn to manage those priorities and adjust. And I think if you can do that, if we can do that as leaders, then we can be much more successful in our diverse, varied roles that we have as leaders in each of those priorities, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Prioritizing everything as a student athlete is super important. I mean, when we're in our on season, we're working towards our goals, but then we also have to prioritize after the season's over, maybe schoolwork a little bit more, trying to get our grades to where they should be. So that totally makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we can go ahead and wrap up, because I think that was plenty of information. We're super thankful that you came on the show and wanted to do this. We really appreciate what you have brought to our podcast, and I think the listeners are really going to love it. So thank you.
It's my privilege, Olivia. I'm proud of you. Great job for doing it and for continuing to get this information out to your listeners. Thanks for your time, and I appreciate getting to know you over the last several years. It's been awesome to watch you grow, and I can't wait to see what you continue to do moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram at the Kentucky Resiliency Lab and give us a rating or review. We really appreciate it. See you guys next week.